Good morning, this is Berta, reading the commercial news for Thursday, October 29th, 2020. Sanitary fee increase to support plan by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Along with a 15-year capital improvement plan, Danville Sanitary District is increasing their residential sewer treatment and base changes to $8.25 a month from the current $7.75 per month. This is separate from the City of Danville's proposed sewer fee increase. The Sanitary District Board last week approved the fee increase, which will begin in May 2021. The monthly residential unit charge also will increase 50 cents to $6 annually each January 1st thereafter. For business, commercial, and industrial customers, septic receiving, for waste haulers depositing directly at the plant, the fees per 1,000 gallons will be in effect unless operating under a separate agreement with the district. May 1, 2021, $50 for septic and $90 for grease. January 1, 2022, $75 for septic and $90 for grease. And January 1, 2023, $100 for septic and $125 for grease. Effective May 1, 2021, the non-residential unit base charge will match the residential monthly unit charge of $8.25. And the base charge will match the residential charge established on each January 1. For accounts with flow volumes in excess of 8 units, the flow rate will change by 3% effective May 1, 2021, and the flow rate charge will increase 3% each January 1 thereafter. For accounts subjected to sewer charge rates also will increase 3% along with the flow rate increases. The user charge increase totaling about $5.7 million during the next 10 years will help fund Program 1, 2021 to 2025, $6 million for digester complex improvements. Two digesters were constructed in 1935, and an upgrade will allow for National Fire Protection Association compliant entry into the digesters and piping and pumping area. $3.2 million blower and aeration rehabilitation. $3 million East Plant wet weather facility rehabilitation. And $1.5 million generators and congregation engine. Install emergency backup power for the central plant. Program 2, 2025 to 2027. $6.1 million for central plant headworks. $3.25 million Stony Creek in Scepter, $2.25 million for sludge processing, and $750,000 retention basin liner. Program 3, 2028 to 2035. $12 million to $15 million financial clarifiers and filtration. $3 million to $5 million biological nutrient removal, and $2.7 million for disinfection. Loan Program 3 and future rate structure beyond 2030 will be determined in the 2027-2028 years. For more information on the Sanitary District's plans, visit the website at www.dsd2035.com. Danville Sanitary District Director Doug Ahrens said the current level rate structure had addressed day-to-day operations. The residential rate hasn't increased for 15 years since 2005. The plant is approaching its 100th anniversary, Ahrens said, about its operations since 1937, and planning now to meet the needs for the future. He said, while the local population has declined, flows on a daily basis are less, but issues arise with stormwater infiltration coming through. That is a cost driver for the district, As much as a third of the water we treat is water that is not coming through a cold or hot water pipe, Aaron said. He said prior leadership had done a wonderful job of taking care of the plant's assets and nursing along the equipment. They've also taken advantage of technology gains. However, there are a lot of pumps, valves, motors, and other things that need to be addressed. Aaron said financing for the capital improvement projects will come from a combination of user charge increases, sanitary district reserves, and Illinois Environment Protection Agency loan program funding, with up to 30% principal forgiveness to be applied for as the City of Danville used for the Northwest Pump Station project. The remaining loan balances will be repaid over 15 to 20 years. The wastewater treatment plant doesn't have discharge limitations on total nitrogen and phosphorus in its effluent liquid waste sewage. But those parameters are monitored and reported. The nitrogen and phosphorus parameters are going to have stricter limitations, which require the modifications to the treatment process. And the Environmental Protection Agency provides further protection for the Gulf of Mexico hypoxic zone. The district will need to be in full compliance with these regulations by 2035, according to Aarons. The sanitary district is a conventional activated sludge wastewater treatment plant with a design average flow of 16 million gallons a day and a design maximum flow of 24 million gallons a day. The plant is permitted to discharge effluent to the Vermilion River, according to the National Pollution Discharge Elimination Systems requirements, NPDES. The NPDES permit, issued by the IEPA, specifies design flow and allowable concentrations of nutrients and solids in the effluent, in addition to other parameters. Aaron said they sent letters to businesses and mailers on the fee increase. He said the fee increase will help get the plant updated, bring in new technology to operate more efficiently, and have more automation of the plant, and make the plant in compliance with the EPA by 2035. The sanitary district also received an Ameren grant to be more energy efficient. Aldermen concerned about proposed sewer fee increase, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Aldermen and city officials fielded phone calls all day Tuesday about the proposed sewer fee increase city officials have proposed. $29.75 a month for residents instead of an average of $16 a month. This is literally the worst time to do it ever, said Ward Alderman Aaron Troelga at Tuesday night's Danville City Council Public Services Committee teleconference meeting, adding that it's ridiculous ask of an increase that would double, triple, or almost quadruple the fee in different cases for residents and businesses. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said, "What is ridiculous is past city administrators not addressing the sewer problems." Troelga said people just found out about the increase, with aldermen set to vote on it only at city council next week and not in committee first. And he thinks the City Council's Public Works Committee should vote first on the proposal prior to full council vote. "I think the general public is finding out through Facebook," he said, asking why the commercial news didn't have the figures on the increase prior to Tuesday to alert the public more in advance. Williams and city engineer Sam Cole didn't provide the proposed fee increases to the commercial news ahead of time when asked, and Ward Alderman Mike Pure, chairman of the Public Works Committee, also didn't respond to a request for numbers to inform the public. Williams said businesses were sent a letter about the proposed fees. Troelga thinks there shouldn't be a significant fee increase sought until businesses find out if they're going to be shut down again with COVID-19. Ward 1 Alderman Brenda Brown said she's torn about the increased fees. She understands the need, but says her ward has many people on a tight budget. "It's not going to be easy," Brown said, saying she heard from people who called her concerned about not being able to afford the higher fee and facing possible penalties in not paying the bill. "It's going to put a hurt on a lot of people." "Right now is not a good time," Brown said, about residents struggling to pay for groceries. Williams also said phone calls touch his heart, too, about sewer backups in homes. He and Cole said some of those calls don't come into the city anymore due to people giving up on the city doing anything to address the problems. Ward Alderman Number 7, Bob Iverson, and Ward 4 Alderwoman Sharon McMahon said they have a problem with the 5% annual fee increase for the future without an annual review. Other aldermen said the fee has to be addressed. Cole asked the aldermen if they want to take the risk of waiting because this year is so bad, but it could be worse tomorrow. Throughout the city, from Denville West, Lake Shores, the Center City, and East Side areas, and elsewhere, there are problems all over, Cole told the Public Service Committee Tuesday about sanitary and storm sewer issues. Cole went over the proposed increases, saying this is similar to other utility companies presenting a case for rate increase. "It stinks," he says, "about being such a big rate increase. It's been waiting for so long to be done." Cole told Alderman the city has completed projects in the last 10 years, such as in Holiday Hills and elsewhere where there's flooding, collapsing sewers, and other problems. "It's not enough. It's not enough keeping pace with the needs, and we're losing ground," he said. Williams said city officials have requested Alderman vote for the sewer fee increases November 3rd to have time prior to December in finalizing the city's 21-22 budget for alderman approval. Pure said, "Mayor, we need to find $4 million basically in case the increase fee isn't approved." In other discussion Tuesday, preparation for January's Martin Luther King Jr. celebration in Danville are being finalized with COVID-19 restrictions. Danville Human Relations Administrator Sandra Finch, said the committee is trying to make arrangements which likely will mean the annual banquet will be canceled, but the celebration in St. James United Methodist Church continuing with a limited number of persons allowed in person, and the program being shown online, and the scholarship recipients announced there instead of at the banquet. The Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Committee is accepting applications for the MLK scholarship. To be eligible for the $4,000 scholarship, you have to be a 2021 high school graduating senior who plans to pursue his/her education at an institution of higher learning. Applications are available at local churches, high schools, and the City of Danville Human Relations Department at City Hall, 17 West Main Street. All scholarship applications must be submitted to the City of Danville Human Relations Department by 4:30 p.m. Friday, December 4th, 2020. In other business at the Public Services Committee teleconference meeting, the committee recommended approving health and other insurance agreements of $2,000 to $2,500 spousal incentives to lower health insurance premiums, and a memorandum of understanding with the local housing authority with the police department. The committee also discussed the side lot program where people can purchase lots for $99. Upcoming fire department burning of dilapidated houses in the City Firefighter Academy session being delayed 2 weeks due to COVID-19. Rental registration information going out by the end of the year for next year. And the final two aldermen who don't have city-provided computers in their homes for teleconference meetings paid with COVID-19 funds are Alderman Dan Duncheon and R.J. Davis. Both aldermen were again absent from Tuesday's teleconference meeting. Police Chief Chris Yates also asked about a 1,092 decrease in calls for service with the police department from a three-month period from 2019 to 2020. The police officers started using body cameras on Monday. And now the obituaries for October 29th. Carol Lynn Anderson. Carol Lynn Anderson of Westville passed away peacefully on Monday, October 26, 2020, at home, surrounded by her husband and daughters. A memorial celebration of Carol's life will be held at 6 o'clock p.m. Friday, October 30th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville, Illinois, 414 South State Street, Westville. Visitation will be held 4 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. on Friday prior to her service at the funeral home. She will be accorded cremation rites as per her wishes. Memorial donations may be given in her name to the Carl Cancer Center in Urbana. Ronnie Howard. It's the honor of our lives to write the obituary for the robust, intentional, high-impact life of Ronnie Ron Dean Howard, 82, who passed away peacefully in his family's home on the farm outside Covington on Friday, October 23rd. Please join us for a community memorial service in the spring of 2021 at a time and location to be announced. Frank Edward Burke. It is with great sorrow that we announce the death of the beloved father and friend, Frank Burke. According to his wishes, we will celebrate his life at a ceremony on Thursday, October 29th, 2020, at 2 p.m. at the Danville National Cemetery. As a proud member of service, he would like all donations to be made to the VFW Women's Division in Melrose Park, Illinois. As his final hurrah, Frank would like all to know he is getting his cheeseburger in paradise and catching the biggest fish he can get in his Colorado heaven. Burton Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Charles E. Jones, Fithian. Charles E. Jones, 82, of Fithian, passed away at 2:40 p.m. on October 24th, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital. A celebration of life service will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on Thursday, October 29th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation in Danville, 3940 North Vermilion Street. Burial will be in Stern Cemetery. Visitation will be held on Wednesday, October 28, 2020, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Sally Sue Grubb. Sally Sue Grubb, 80, of Georgetown, passed away at 6:46 a.m. Wednesday, October 28, 2020, at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman. As per her wishes, Sally will be accorded cremation rites. There are no services at this time. Her family was assisted by Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown. And these obituaries were received by 5 p.m. Wednesday. Paxton, Westfall, Clara, 54, formerly of Cisna Park, passed away at 9:35 a.m. Tuesday, October 27th, 2020, at Accolade Healthcare in Paxton. Arrangements are pending at Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston. Prescott, Arizona, Weiss, Artie, Peg, 91, formerly of Cisna Park, passed away on Tuesday, October 6th, 2020, at the Alta Vista Senior Living Community in Prescott. A private graveside service will be held at the Apostolic Christian Cemetery in Cisna Park. A public visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, October 30th at Anderson Funeral Home. Rossville, Gagnon, Anita Fay, 86, passed away at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 24th, 2020, at Heritage Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. A private funeral service will be held. Public graveside service, 11:30 a.m. Saturday, October 31st, 2020, at Rossville Cemetery in Rossville. Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston is handling the arrangements. Wagner, Iris Ann, 88, passed away at 5:55 a.m. Saturday, October 24th, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Graveside services at 10 a.m. Friday, October 30th, 2020, at Rossville Cemetery. Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston is handling arrangements. Wayne Town, Indiana. Howard, Ronnie, Ron, Dean, 82, passed away peacefully in his family-built home. I'm sorry, I've already read that one. Danville Woman, recipient of Free Roof by Marvin Holman. Danville. Aspen Contracting Covers for Others program reached out to people that are in need of a roof. For this year's edition of the program, they were able to reach out to Danville. Danville's Kim Watson, who was nominated anonymously, was named one of 8 recipients of a roof from Aspen Contracting. Aspen is based in Lee Summit, Missouri, and invites people to nominate people who are in hardship, are veterans, first responders, or uninsured homeowners. A final group of nominees are selected and the public votes on them. After voting evaluations ensue, the final recipients are selected. One installation begins. Aspen invites the homeowners and their neighbors to revel in an installation ceremony. The roof is 100% free, as national and local sponsors are funding the event every year. Watson Roof was done by the company earlier this month. Library kicks off November with activities. Staff report. Danville. The Danville Public Library has announced several upcoming events at the library, located at 319 North Vermilion Street. Upcoming activities scheduled for the week of November 2nd include YouTube, Catch the Story Times, Crafting, and Snack Making on Danville Public Library's YouTube page. Teen subscription boxes are back. The popular teen subscription box program blends elements of a monthly subscription box with elements of traditional book club. The library will have a limited number of boxes, so please let them know why they should choose you to participate. They are currently taking applications for the December-January sets of boxes. To apply and for further details, visit tinyurl.com/dpl-teenbookbox. Teen Art Show, announcing a teen online art show. Each month, the library will have a new theme. Send in your art and the library will post on both Facebook and their website. Winners will be chosen at the end of the month. Submissions must be family friendly. To submit your work, visit tinyurl.com/dpl-teenart. Children's curbside craft kits available on a first-come, first-served basis. Danville Public Library has craft kits for children at curbside pickup. This week, pick up a pumpkin craft. You can also contact the Children's Department at 217-477-5225 to reserve a kit. Adult craft kits available on a first-come, first-served basis. Danville Public Library has craft kits for adults available at the reference desk. Never lose your place in a book again once you make a bookmark with this month's craft kit. You can also contact the reference desk at 217-477-5228 to reserve a kit for curbside pickup. November 7th, The Knitted Man, Matt Guernsey, is coming to DPL virtually to perform a concert featuring Celtic music. The Kilted Man delights audiences of all ages with his rousing performances of traditional Irish and Scottish music. Saturday, November 7th at 2 p.m. via Zoom. Register at tinyurl.com/dpl-kiltedman. Acreage expansion, 32 acres added to Williams Woods by staff report. Northern Indiana Citizens Helping Ecosystem Services, NICHES Land Trust closed a 32-acre addition to Williams Woods in Warren County, Indiana this week, expanding the property to 118 acres. Since acquiring the woods in Williamsport, Indiana, in 2018, NICHES has been working to open up the woodland canopy to give more light to the abundance of wildflowers found on the property. This year, they retired 19 acres of row crop agriculture land and will be planting a native high-diversity prairie with the support of the Natural Resources Conservation Service and Warren County Community Foundation. The prairie restoration is designed to have blooms throughout the growing season, with a particular emphasis on milkweed and butterfly-friendly plants to support declining monarch butterfly populations and all butterflies. The property, much loved by the Williams family, was a muse to Grover C. Williams, inspiring him to write Pokeberry Paths, a collection of poems and stories. Visitors are invited to explore the land deeper through Grover C. Williams' poetry found on posts throughout the Laura Hare Forest Prairie Border Trail. As you wander, catch a glimpse of the woodlands and fields through Grover's eyes and see the beauty and whimsy of the place. He called Glen DWR Farm and Border Lands. Williams Woods is located 15 miles from Danville and is open for free to everyone from dawn to dusk throughout the year. The mission for NICHES Land Trust is to protect, restore, and sustain Northern Indiana's ecosystem by providing habitat, native species, and offering natural places for education, appreciation, and enjoyment of current and future generations. Its properties are free and open to the public. And this is Birdie signing off from reading the commercial news for Thursday, October 29th, 2020. Have a great day.